Good evening. Thank you for joining us. They are our friends, our family, our neighbors. Asian Americans now mobilizing across the country, condemning a recent surge of racist attacks against the community and reminding us all to not look the other way when they too often are made to feel just that, other. Here's my Nightline co-anchor, Juju Chang.
For too long, it's been an invisible problem. The violence against Asian Americans surging throughout the pandemic. This week, police investigating new incidents from a street in Seattle and a laundromat in San Francisco. To New York City, where a 56-year-old man was beaten for no apparent reason. Attacks targeting our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones. A woman viciously shoved, a 71-year-old lady punched in the face, a 36-year-old man stabbed in Chinatown on his way home from work. These attacks seemingly escalating over the past 2 months, prompting more than 1,000 people to protest in Oakland, calling for solidarity against Asian American violence.
Thank you for coming through.
Now the simmering anger boiling over, an uprising to stop the hate.
It is something in the psyche of this country where somehow it's okay to physically or verbally abuse Asian Americans. We're being scapegoated. And this is not just one community. It is every community.
Hollywood stars, athletes, Congress members, activists, and everyday Americans joining forces against not just the violence.
People got punched and pushed over. We have elderly who are being attacked.
But the casual racism Asian Americans endure every day in this country.
I've always kind of been the token Asian guy, or I've always had to prove myself a little bit more.
Basketball player Jeremy Lin of the Warriors G League called coronavirus on the court, speaking up in hopes of paving an easier path for others.
When the next Asian or Asian American comes along, that they won't have to fight as hard or fight uphill to be able to show what they can do.
And actress Olivia Munn lending her star status to the fight.
Now, when I look in the mirror, I see an Asian American woman. I don't just see a woman.
Like so many, Munn says the COVID-19 pandemic has been weaponized against Asians and Asian Americans.
I really was paralyzed. I didn't really know what to think, what to say.
When the previous administration said things publicly, like the Wuhan virus,
the China flu,
the China virus, the plague from China, we have to be accurate.
Unapologetically, he helped to stoke the fires of anti-Asian violence against our communities.
Stop AAPI Hate began collecting more than 2,800 reports nationwide of anti-Asian hate between March and December.
Olivia, look up!
Munn says her mission became personal after her friend's mother was attacked.
Take me to that moment when you saw the surveillance video of your friend's mom being attacked. What went through your mind?
I was in shock. I mean, she's a very tiny woman, and she is hurled through the air to the point where her body is horizontal, her legs are flailing. And I think about my own mother, I think about my aunts, I think about the people in my family and how it could have happened to any of them.
Munn told us her friend's mom didn't even want to report the crime at first, but after the suspect was arrested, she now feels like she matters.
Tell me how the younger generation is responding to that sort of cultural need to sort of stay quiet. Are younger Asian Americans being more vocal?
Yeah, we're being a lot more vocal than our parents and grandparents. I mean, there was this conditioning for the older generation to accept being a second-class citizen in your own country. Just surviving and not dying shouldn't be the aim for our families. You know, it shouldn't be the aim for anyone. Our parents, our grandparents, they paved the roads for us. And now it's our turn to take them back to the front of those roads and walk them down those paths and say, like, look, you belong here. You're an American and it's safe.
One of the videos that helped spark this fresh outrage, the senseless death of 84-year-old Thai immigrant Vishar Ratanapakdi, knocked to the ground while on his morning walk. The horrific video getting the attention of so many people, including actor Daniel Dae Kim.
It was a very visceral response. I got very angry. This is now a year of these kinds of things going on, but it was disheartening to see how many people did not know.
Police arrested a 19-year-old suspect who pled not guilty to murder and elderly abuse. His lawyer insists the attack was not racially motivated because the victim's face was fully covered with a mask and hat, so there was no knowledge of race. His lawyer instead calling it a break in the mental health of a teenager. But while Vishar's death made headlines, propelling this issue to the forefront, it's his life his daughter and son-in-law want to honor.
Happy birthday, dear grandpa.
He's a family man, gentleman. He's taking care of our family.
Even though Vishar's attack, like countless others, are not being investigated as hate crimes, it's still drawing attention to the alarming surge of xenophobic attacks.
You need to leave.
Asian piece of
Oh my God. Right. Go back to whatever Asian country you belong in.
Montana says she's trying to find hope. It isn't easy.
I've been outside with the kid, and then I've been attacked with a wobbly. They're yelling, and then you are sick, you are wireless Asian.
How did your kids react to that?
We know it's violence. We just walk away.
But that pain pales in comparison to her father's murder.
I miss him a lot every day. He's a caring person. We can't believe this happened.
Many in the Asian American community are harnessing the power of social media to share information on attacks and help hunt for suspects. My colleague Dion Lim of KGO-TV in San Francisco is a prime example.
On social media, things are different. People get to know me on a little bit more of an intimate basis. They learn about me being bullied, growing up in very non-diverse parts of the country. So they feel that connection. And then on social media, there's also a buffer. There's a screen on a phone or a computer. So they feel protected. They don't have to lay it all out on the line. And then when they see other people comment on these posts, they realize, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. I can do this. I feel empowered to share my story.
Others using their influence online to raise awareness, 31-year-old software engineer Hugh Ma.
It all started when I was trying to help my mom find a vaccine. It was a pretty arduous process.
Ma started TurboVax, a hugely popular Twitter profile which tracks real-time availability of the vaccine. He's reportedly helped tens of thousands of New Yorkers get the shot. But as attacks against the Asian community spiked recently, Ma decided he needed to protest in a meaningful way, one that would capture people's attention. So he shut TurboVax down temporarily.
I wanted to illustrate through this action of taking the site down for 2 days that if we as a country don't listen to the concerns of Asian Americans, then we risk losing the contributions of Asian Americans as well. Growing up in Queens, I was not immune to anti-Asian bias. I grew up with people making offhand remarks about my slanted eyes, my yellow skin, my Ching Chong name.
Ma recommended people donate to a Chinatown nonprofit. He says the messages of hate started pouring in, but so did the support and the money. So far, the nonprofit has raised $105,000.
I just hope that my experience can show others that as long as you take the initiative and stand up for what you believe in, I think that you can make real change regardless of however big or small you think that may be.
Our thanks to Juju. You can watch the ABC News Live special, Stop the Hate, the Rise in Violence Against Asian Americans, on Hulu. Coming up, how businesses in one American city hit hard by COVID-19 are fighting to survive.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg.
a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, as Texas and Mississippi face backlash for relaxing their mask mandates, the state of California faces arguably the strictest COVID-19 restrictions in the U.S. Now the business owners finding new ways to stay afloat.
So here you can see what is a really expensive warehouse and storage facility now.
This empty 10,000-square-foot gym is the financial responsibility of Jared Perlmutter, or JP as he's best known.
But we still have to maintain it. Cleaning crew still comes in every night. We change out all the HVAC HEPA filters because we do have staff and or members that come in to utilize the restrooms.
He's expected to pay full rent on this space, a staggering $30,000 per month.
So there'd be 6-8 people over here stretching.
Even though he's currently prohibited from using the space for regular business. He's one of about 4 million small business owners in California trying to keep the lights on in one of the most restrictive states in the nation.
We're operating at 50% as far as our ability to offer programs. So not only are we limited to 50%, we're now limited off the number of people we can service at 50%.
Gyms had not been allowed to operate indoor business for almost a year in LA County. It was this parking lot and a loyal clientele that allowed JP to reopen this summer at reduced capacity.
The second this opened back up, I was like, yes, sign me up.
As Texas and Mississippi eliminate mask mandates and fully reopen, California's governor continues to take it slow.
So we have to be vigilant. We have to be mindful.
California has lost the largest number of small businesses of any state. More than 15,000 shuttered in Los Angeles County alone. With only 12% here getting a vaccine dose so far, and a more contagious variant of the virus still running rampant in the state, we spent the day with three small business owners whose resilience is their best asset.
We're California. This is the land of dreams. The richest people on earth live in California. You're telling me that we can't create a few solutions?
I'm gonna fight, and look for ways until everything starts getting better.
And I can tell you, 100 businesses that need that miracle right now.
We're at Brick Fitness in West Hollywood, California. Brick Fitness is a group class instruction facility.
All right, guys, welcome.
Rowing and bike and jump roping and movements on the ground, barbells, dumbbells, etc.
12, 15.
Before the pandemic, JP says his 11-year-old business had 28 employees. He's had to let go of half, while the cost of doing business has only increased.
Our increased expenses to operate safely outdoors is between $10,000 and $12,000 a month. You know, increased cleaning crew, the tent rentals, equipment. Our maintenance is 5 times of what it was on equipment alone.
Adapting while complying to a myriad of rules. For this gym, outdoors, mask, no music or loud instruction.
So, you know, you can see some of them have their ear pods in so that they can listen to their own music. And then they just have to focus and listen intently because the coach can't scream.
A 30-minute drive away is historically Latino East Los Angeles.
Chico is going to help you.
Where Senin Sanchez is getting ready for the lunchtime takeout rush.
We are here in Chico's Mexican restaurant, my restaurant, in Highland Park, California. Well, we've been since 1983. We start from scratch.
The state shutdown of indoor dining last March forced 58-year-old Senin to innovate immediately, turning to delivery apps.
I had to jump into the technology, otherwise I will be totally dead if I'm not on the website or using the media. DoorDash takes 30%. I believe Grubhub takes 25% from me. I've been able to make my mortgage payments, my rent on time, my bills are paid. So if I break even, I'm perfectly okay.
Sinnott says he's also been blessed with a landlord who's kept rent low even before this pandemic.
So people eat every single day, and thank God they like my food, so I'm blessed.
He's one of the lucky ones. Latino-owned businesses have been more impacted by the pandemic than other ethnic groups. Because Latinos in L.A. County are still dying at three times the rate of white residents, Sinnott says he's in no rush to open his dining room.
We have to give them respect and follow the rules because they're doing their best they can, so we have to do the best we can according to the rules.
No more outdoor dining in L.A. County, at least for now. Officials announced more restrictions as coronavirus cases continue to surge.
L.A. restaurants and bars have gone through three rounds of closures or restrictions on service. Many that have not folded are in massive debt.
Hey, guys.
Including the owner of this neighborhood bar.
How are you doing?
Angela Marsden.
We're in Sherman Oaks at the Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon at my bar. I'm in debt even with the GoFundMe. I got the PPP, and then I applied for the SBA loan, and I took that money, and I paid, you know, my staff. I paid for the patio. I paid for all the COVID stuff.
Are you guys ordering today?
Angela first spoke with Nightline last March. She received the news of the mandatory shutdown.
You know, it's almost 5 o'clock and we're open from 11 to 8. And we only have $140 in sales. And that doesn't even cover the two people that we're trying to keep, you know, employed.
She eventually built an elaborate parking lot patio for outdoor dining.
I have taken a loss every single month, anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000. Overall, I've lost about over $500,000 in revenue that would normally be coming in.
She says she spent $80,000 in adaptations to the restaurant. The PPP loan she received evaporated quickly. And by November, another shutdown.
They basically shut us down 2 days before Thanksgiving. I went out and bought $10,000 worth of food to sell that now can't be sold.
She recorded a video that went viral, blasting the state for deeming businesses like hers non-essential.
Mayor Garcetti has approved this being set up for a movie company. Look at this. Tell me that this is dangerous, but right next to me is a slap in my face.
My real complaint, by the way, was never with the movie company or the movie industry. My problem was with Garcetti and Newsom because they're the people that are making the rules.
With their parking lot patio finally reopened, Angela is now part of a movement to recall the governor. For Angela, business is personal. It's not just a living, it's her life.
Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon, it represents a real meeting place where, you know, people meet here. I hope that I own this until the day I die.
And up next, a double lung transplant and a second chance at life for one COVID-19 survivor. And finally tonight, a programming note on tomorrow's broadcast, the miraculous story of Leo. A loving father brought back from the brink of COVID-19, the virus destroying Leo's lungs. Now the journey to undergo a rare and risky operation, a life-saving double lung transplant. Our cameras are there every step of the way, following the story of saving Leo. That special broadcast tomorrow night right here on Nightline. That's it for this evening. You watch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time, tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.